going to read God's word together. So if you have a Bible near you, grab that, and we're turning to Mark chapter 8, which can be found on page 1012 in these Bibles. We're going to be starting at Mark chapter 8, verse 31. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels."
Well, good evening. It's great to see you. That never gets old, does it? Seeing people get baptised. I think I had something in my eye for most of the past half an hour. So thank you guys for letting us share that with you. We're going to spend a few minutes just looking at that bit of the Bible that Abby just read and seeing how it helps us understand more of who Jesus is and what it means to follow him. Because as we've heard, those baptisms give us an amazing picture of exactly what happens in this Bible passage. So before we do that, let me pray together and ask for God's help. Father God, we love you so much and we thank you for bringing us together here this evening. Thank you for sending Jesus, who died in our place, to rescue us. Thank you for the testimonies we've heard of that this evening, for how real that is. And we pray for your Spirit's help this evening to see more of that Jesus. Amen. Well, you're going to need your Bible open. So there should be one on the floor around you. You can open it to page 1012. There we're reading from a book called Mark, because it's written by a bloke called Mark a couple of thousand years ago. We're in chapter 8 tonight. And for the last few weeks as a church, we've been working through on Sunday evenings the first 8 chapters. And so we're at the final bit before our summer break. And we're going to see here what Mark tells us about who Jesus is. We've seen over the past few weeks, over and over again, that Jesus proves his identity as God's unexpected king. He's the king who does all kinds of miracles. He does stuff that only God could do. He cares for people in a way that only God could care for people. And he teaches with a new authority that nobody has ever seen or heard before. And Mark tells us all that is to prove he is God's son, God's king. And now we get to the end of chapter 8. And this is the start of the second half. It's like the hinge of the book of Mark. Mark moves from telling us who Jesus is to telling us why Jesus has come. And we find out in this bit that Jesus came to bring people from death to life. And spoiler alert, this is good news. It's actually the most amazing news you will ever hear. So you need to make sure you've got it open so you're following it. So it's not just my words. This is God's words to us this evening. Now, before we get there, this week I've been watching a TV show called Go Hard or Go Home. Anybody else been watching it? No, just me. It's probably for the best. And when I describe it, you'll understand why. I think it's a reality TV show. And I think it's a combination between Love Island and I'm a Celebrity. It's like a really weird mashup. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, that's probably a good thing. Don't worry at all. It's a reality TV show, and they've taken 8 unhappy Brits to an exotic island to sort their lives out. That's basically it. Each of these unhappy Brits gets a warrior, some kind of professional athlete, to help them sort their life out. And each of them has some kind of personal issue that they're really open with. And they go through all these physical challenges to try and help them improve themselves, to change their lives. So each of them has got a reason for being there. One of them has struggled with mental health issues. One of them's lost family members. One of them lost his job and then sunk into all kinds of different addiction issues. And the idea is they push themselves out of their comfort zone with their warrior's help. And the strapline for the show is, how far will they go to change their lives? And one of the reasons I've been really enjoying it is because they're just really honest about life. And it's not in a kind of cheesy way, like you probably see on Love Island or I'm a Celebrity. They're on that island because they know they can't change their lives themselves. They've tried that, so they've come on this show to sort themselves out. That's their answer. They're there to change their lives. And I reckon it's actually quite a good picture of our lives sometimes too, except we don't get to go to an exotic island to do it, most of us. We've all got stuff probably deep down, just like those 8 unhappy Brits, that we'd like to change. And so we're on a lifelong journey to make that change, to give us the lives that we want, to be at peace or to be satisfied, to have all the money we need to be comfortable, to be proud of ourselves, or just to be happy. The problem is that change doesn't come easily, does it? It's hard. It's a daily grind to get to the top, as they say. And so we probably go one of two ways. You either work harder and harder and harder till you get there, or you just give up. It's not worth it. I'll just float through life. But then the real issue comes. If you get there, if you achieve all that, if you get the house you always wanted and the job you always wanted and enough money in the bank to be comfortable and real satisfaction, where does that get you? Those who give up and those who end up owning the world all end up in the same place, don't they? 1 in 1 people die. Now that's a bit morbid and a bit deep, isn't it? Sorry about that. But it's also true, isn't it? So that question, how far will they go to change their lives? It's not enough. It's not enough for them. It's not enough for us. We need something more. We need the good news that Jesus gives us tonight. Because Jesus asks us a very similar question. Not how far will you go to change your life, but how far will you go to save your life? How far will you go to save your life? So in our search for how to really live life, Jesus doesn't just give us the question, he gives us the answer too. Jesus says here, to save your life, death needs to take place. Death needs to happen first. That probably sounds a bit odd, doesn't it? Sounds a bit weird. To save your life, how can the answer to real fulfilled life with real peace, real fullness, how can that involve death? It's a bit unexpected. It's a bit upside down. Well, Jesus was the upside down, unexpected king. So stick with me and we'll see from this bit of the Bible how Jesus shows us that death needs to happen to bring real life. So first we see death to life for Jesus, and then we see death to life for us. That's where we're heading. So first, death to life for Jesus. In your Bibles, have a look at verse 31. So just the middle on the left of that page, 1012, under where Jesus predicts his death. Verse 31 says this. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. So after 8 chapters of proving he's God's king, Jesus tells his closest friends and his followers that he's going to be rejected and then killed and rise again. Now, back in May, I don't know if you remember the king's coronation. How could we forget? But the first sniff of the plans we got for that coronation were in October of 2022. I don't know if you were every day on the royal website to find out what was going to happen. But in October, you would have seen an announcement on the royal website, www.royal.org. Just in case you want to know, you can find it yourself. And they said, the king's coronation will take place in May. There'll be a service in Westminster Abbey. The Archbishop of Canterbury will take the service. And there'll be lots of gold, nice hats, and all kinds of things. I made the last bit up. But before the king was coronated, there was an announcement. Here, Jesus is announcing to his disciples what his coronation is going to look like. His coronation will look like him dying and rising again. And again, this turned upside down what they expected from their king. Nobody expected God's king to die. Nobody expects a king to die to become king. So why? Why does that need to happen? Why did Jesus say this? Well, he gives us a very good reason. Did you see? He said in verse 31, the Son of Man must suffer and must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He's really clear that it has to happen. The reason is God planned it to be that way. God planned a long time before, just like 6 months before they announced King Charles's coronation. A long time before that, God announced this. In your Bibles, flick back to page 742, if you can. And there we find, in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. And in chapter 53 of Isaiah, this is like God announcing the coronation of his king, but in a way nobody expected. I'm going to look first at verse 8, again, middle of the left-hand side. It says this: by oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. And then if you skip to the end of that chapter, end of verse 12, it says, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Jesus knew he needed to die. Because 800 years before, that's how long before this book of Isaiah was written. Before Jesus speaks to us in the book of Mark, 800 years before, God had said, my suffering servant king will be rejected, will be led like a lamb to the slaughter, and he'll be cut off from the land of the living. That must happen. Why? For the transgression of my people. He bore the sin of many. Jesus knew he needed to die. He must die to take on the problem of sin. Now, we talked a bit about that problem earlier. We all agreed, or I say we agreed, I suggested, that we all have stuff inside of us that we're working to try and change. We've all got things within us that maybe we don't tell other people, or we're not happy with, or we regret, or we feel guilty for. The Bible says that we've turned our back on God and that we think we can do life by ourselves. That's the essence of sin. If you flick back to our passage in Mark, page 1012, in there, Jesus describes sin like adultery. Verse 38 of Mark chapter 8, he calls the generation this adulterous and sinful generation. So our sin, a very biblically word, it's like a husband or wife going off with somebody else, turning their back on their partner and going off because they think they're better off without them. There's something better than them. So we think there's something better than God. There's a better way to live. There's a better way to be. Turning the back on the one they should love. And the Bible tells us that's angered God. But he always knew, as he gave people freedom, sin would come into the world. And the Bible's been really clear that the justice and fair judgment for sin, for turning our back on God, has always been death. So death is the penalty, the punishment needed for sin. Now, that might be hard to hear, but we know that we need justice in our world, don't we? Because a world without justice is a terrifying thought. Our problem is we just don't like it when it turns on us, do we? I know we need speed cameras to stop people speeding. But when I got a speeding ticket, it was a while ago, it's cleared off my license now. But when that ticket landed on my through my door, I had 101 excuses of why I should not pay that. Why it wasn't fair that I was caught. I'll tell you them later if you want. I didn't like it, that judgment turned on me. But God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit planned that Jesus would come to die to sort out the problem of sin. It says in Isaiah, he took our sin on himself. That's what Jesus is announcing here in Mark. He takes the physical death, the punishment before God, so that we don't have to. He takes our death penalty so that we can be forgiven by God for turning our back on him. And these guys tonight went down into the water to show us the symbol of Jesus' death. That's like going down into the grave. Jesus had to go to the grave for people to be free from the sin that holds us all. Now that is amazing news, isn't it? But it gets better. Because Jesus didn't stop there, did he? He must be killed and after 3 days, rise again. And you can see that back in Isaiah 53 as well. Verse 11 of Isaiah 53, God said in that coronation announcement, after his death, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. And now we look back, knowing what comes after Mark chapter 8 in the Bible. You go through to the end of the book of Mark, and the last page of the book of Mark, the title on there is Jesus is Risen. We've just sung about it. Now, if Jesus had just died and not risen again, his announcement here in Mark chapter 8 that he would die and rise again could have been a coincidence, couldn't it? Everyone's going to die. It could have just come to Jesus fairly soon after he said it in Mark chapter 8. But Jesus did die and he did rise again. Now, if you're not sure that can be true, join the club. Only God could do that. Jesus isn't any old man. He claims to be God. And there's good historical evidence that Jesus rose from the dead, from within the Bible and from outside of the Bible. Jesus must rise from the dead. Why? To prove that death is not the end. His death led to new life. And with God, new life comes through dying. Death is not the end for Jesus, and death is not the end for us. And that moves us to the second half of the passage, where we see death to life for us. So let's look at verse 34 in Mark chapter 8. Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. Now, the people who originally read this knew exactly what that meant. Taking up your cross to us is like standing in front of the firing squad. The cross was a form of public execution. And people going to their death would have to carry their cross in front of the crowds. They'd pick up a big, huge wooden beam and they'd carry it in front of everybody to the place they were going to be crucified. So for Jesus to tell his followers to take up their cross, it meant walking to certain death. So now if we've just said that Jesus died in our place, in the place of his followers, so we don't have to, why would he then, the next thing he says, be, you need to go to certain death? Why would Jesus tell the people who want to follow him they had to die like him? Well, that comes in verse 35. And there we see that the good news comes through dying, and the warning comes through trying to hold on to your life yourself. Did you see that? For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me in the gospel will save it. If we try to save ourselves, to live life by ourselves, to change our life ourselves, then eventually we'll lose our life. Jesus carries on, verse 36 and verse 37. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Death is not the end. I once heard a man who was buried in his car so he could take his car with him. But that's ridiculous, isn't it? We know that everybody dies and we can't take our cars with us. We can't take our stuff with us. You can't be buried in your house. Take that with you to the next life. Nothing we earn in this life will save us from dying, and we can't take it with us. But Jesus has proved that death is not the end. And that means that we'll all stand before him one day. And if we put ourselves and all those things in front of Jesus in this life, if we laugh at these words in the Bible and turn our backs on him, the warning Jesus gives us here in verse 38, he says, if you're ashamed of me in this life, then I'll be ashamed of you then. And then that leads to eternity without God. Now, Jesus talks more about a place called hell than anybody else in the Bible. And it makes perfect sense in the light of this passage, because if you spend this life intentionally living without God, then why would you want that to be any different in eternity? So if you hear that warning from Jesus this evening and you want to change things, the question is, how far will you go to save your life? Hear that warning and hear the good news from Jesus, that death brings life. We've heard tonight that for those who give up their life for Jesus, those who follow Jesus and take up their cross will save their lives through death. We saw the picture as they went down. Now, Jesus doesn't mean physical death here. He means spiritual death. That's putting to death the attitude of thinking we can live this life without God, of taking us out of the center of the world and putting God there. That's what Jake and Josh have shown us tonight. They've shown that they've died to their old life. They've stopped trying to make it on their own. In the best possible way, they've given up on themselves. And they've given themselves to Jesus. They went down in the water to show their spiritual death. And I'm really pleased to say they came back up again to show their new life, spiritually alive with Jesus. Saved, rescued, born again. We heard all those words from them, didn't we? They've got new life now. They're new people. I wonder, friends and family, have you seen a change in them since they've become Christians? That's the new life. That's God at work in them. When we die to ourselves, that changes how we feel about everything in life. What we want doesn't matter as much anymore. We don't need to live for profit or for stuff or to make ourselves happy. But instead, we have security knowing that Jesus has done it all for us. He took on our behalf that real physical death so that we can be made alive with him now and then spend eternity with him in heaven. Because if you've died to yourself now, when you stand before Jesus, you can say, I'm with you. And he'll let you in. That's the amazing truth that we have, trusting in Jesus. Now, I need to warn you that this amazing news doesn't mean that life will suddenly be easy. once you become a Christian. I was talking about this with a friend recently who had recently become a Christian, and he said, why didn't you warn me that life would be like this? So sorry, mate. But let me tell you guys, and we've heard a bit of it already, life as a Christian is hard. We have to die to ourselves, to wanting to please everybody, maybe to following that great career we had, to doing the things the rest of society thinks are so important. For many Christians around the world, becoming a Christian has meant being kicked out of their family, losing their jobs, even being killed themselves. But we've heard this evening, it is so worth it. New life in Jesus brings peace and security for now and eternity. That is not possible without him. There was once a man called Jim Elliot. He wanted to be a missionary, and he wasn't sure whether he should go to India or to Ecuador. And so he studied hard, he got married, and he waited till he could decide. He worked hard. And then the time came for him to be a missionary, and he chose to go to a place in Ecuador. To a place in Ecuador where nobody had ever heard about Jesus. There were no Bibles in their language. They'd never heard about Jesus. And as he thought about following Jesus, he wrote these words in his journal. He wrote, he is no fool. Hang on, there's Jim, sorry. Just in case you wanted to see what he looks like. Jim Elliot. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. No fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Now, Jim Elliot ended up really living this out. Because he went to that place in Ecuador and he ended up being killed by the people he'd gone to tell about Jesus. So he really gave up his life for Jesus. That won't happen to all of us. We won't all get martyred. But we have to martyr those desires in ourselves to be on top. The things we think we deserve or the things we really need. Jim Elliot knew there was nothing he could give that would ever be worth what he got in return from Jesus. Do you see how amazing the good news is from Jesus? God's King offers us the gift of new life, but death must take place first. Forgiveness, freedom, joy, total satisfaction, now and forever. So two questions. If you're not a Christian this evening, how far will you go to save your life? We've seen from Jesus' words tonight that to save your life for now and eternity, you need to put that old life to death. To put those old, selfish, sinful ways of life to the spiritual firing squad and receive forgiveness from Jesus. Allow him to bury that old life for you. And then even this evening, you can take that new, clean, free, forgiven life, the promise of eternity with him. And if that's you and you're interested but you need to find out more, we'd love for you to do that. There are loads of ways to do that here. One of the things you could do to start with is take one of these. We've got a few on the table at the back. This is the Gospel of Mark, the book of Mark that we've been looking through. Why not read that and find out more about Jesus? If you're not sure about committing to him, don't do it before you're ready. We're not here to push you into anything. We're just here to show you who Jesus is and let you decide for yourself. But read about who he says he is in there. Find out for yourself. You could do the Christianity Explored course, which we've heard about tonight. Find out for yourself who Jesus is. And if you're a Christian, if you've already trusted in Jesus' death for your forgiveness, the question to us is, are we dying to ourselves in every area of our life? Or is God putting his finger on something for you that you're saying, I'll let you change some bits, but I'm just going to keep hold of this bit. I'm not quite ready to die for that bit. Now, I can't tell you what that is. But the question to think about as you go away is, what do you need to take up your cross with again this evening? What desire do you need to put to death that's getting in the way of God, that's making you turn your back on him? What do you metaphorically need to bury in the water? Now, I'm going to finish in a minute, but before I do, let's just take a minute of quiet to think on reflect on Jesus, God's King. We've seen tonight that death needs to happen, and it happened by Jesus once and for all. How do you respond to that Jesus this evening? Whether this is your first time reflecting on him or your 100th, 1,000th time reflecting on him. Will you put to death your old life to find new life in him? And as I pray and invite the band up, if you want to follow Jesus for the first time, then you can use the words of the prayer I'm about to pray to do that. And if you're a Christian, you need to come back to God this evening, then you can use the words too. So let's pray together. Lord God, we are so sorry that we have tried for so long to save our lives without you. Lord, forgive us. Thank you for going through death in our place, in my place. We trust your death. And we're amazed that you rose again and prove that death is not the end. We trust in you rising again. Save us and give us new life with you, now and forever. And help us to know that you are with us from here. As we live this new life with you, help us all to continue to make sense of it in our lives and as a church. Amen.